Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Braves, part of Locked On Sports Atlanta, where we cover your favorite Atlanta sports teams each and every day. I am your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at ShortstopBall, and you can check out my bio there to see where I am covering the game of baseball, including the Atlanta Braves, in written form over at TomahawkTake.com. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at LockedOn_Braves, where you can send me in all of your questions, comments, feedback on the podcast. Love to hear from you. And you can also subscribe to us on YouTube as well and hit me up in the comments section there. And thanks for making Locked On Braves your first listen each and every day. We post episodes daily, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and are free and available on all platforms. On today's episode, we'll be breaking down that 1-0 loss to the Milwaukee Brewers on Monday. The defense, again, letting us down, but also the offense just could not get anything going. I got some injury news to get to, some Spencer Strider stuff to talk about, a lot to get to on today's episode, and then we'll obviously preview Tuesday's game. But let's jump into this game from Monday. Again, a 1-0 loss. Not much offense from either team in this one. But I want to talk about the offense to start. Obviously, the Braves offense been struggling at times. I actually thought the at-bats over the weekend were much better. And really, for the past week or so, I thought the at-bats have been much improved. But they just could not get going in this game. And Freddy Peralta, a big reason for that. And look, Freddy Peralta is a great pitcher. The Braves should be a great offense. But Freddy Peralta was on his game tonight. I made the comment on Twitter because I heard the Braves broadcast and they made several wrong takes on Monday talking about the Brewers. But one of those was they said Freddy Peralta is a fourth or fifth starter. I can't remember if that was BJ or Peter Moylan that said that. That can't be farther from the truth. And that just shows you a broadcast team that wasn't doing their homework. Anybody that watched Freddy Peralta last year knows he is, at worst, a number three starter on most rotations. He's probably a number two starter, and he showed you just how good he can be on Monday. And Freddy Peralta is one of those pitchers that you have to get to early. It's been proven track record over the last year plus now. He can struggle in the first inning. He has a 12.68 ERA in the first inning this year. Last year, a 5.33 ERA in the first inning. So he's one of those pitchers, you don't get them early, he really gets into a groove and can shut you down. And that's exactly what happened on Monday. And the Braves had their chance in the first inning. Again, it's just things not going their way. They got a hit, they got a walk, but they also had two lineouts in that inning, balls that were absolutely scorched and went right to players. You had the lineout from Matt Olson in the first inning. It was the hardest hit ball of the game at 105.4 miles per hour, which tells you there was not a lot of hard hit balls by either team in this game. But that was the hardest hit ball of the game. It went right to Rowdy Tellez over at first base. That's at least a single. Maybe he gets down in the corner for a double. And then you have Travis d'Arnaud with two outs, smoke a ball right at Jace Peterson, who made a great catch. That would have been at least a run, if not more, and that decided the game right there. And that's just unfortunate for the Atlanta Braves. Unfortunate that those balls couldn't get down and get past the corner infielders, but it's also unfortunate the Rays offense just couldn't do anything else. I mentioned those two hard hit balls in the first inning. The Braves only had four hard hit balls in this game, balls that are hit 95 miles per hour or harder. Again, you had those two. You had one by Ozzie Albies, which is a pop-up. Olson had another one on a ground out that was a hard hit ball. That was it from the Braves in this game as far as hard hit balls go. The offense was completely silent after the first inning and never really had a chance, never really threatened. Their only other hit in this game was a dribbler up the line, up the third baseline by Marcelo Ozuna that he beat out. That was their only other base runner after the first inning. They went 1-2-3 in 7 of the 9 innings, struck out 16 times, swung and missed 25 times. But what really kills me is they took 24 pitches for strikes against Freddy Peralta. This guy is a two-pitch pitcher. I already said he's very good. I'm not taking anything away from Freddy Peralta. He is a very good pitcher, and at any given day, he can shut down a very good lineup as he did on Monday. But to take 24 pitches for strikes, that's just telling you that the hitters were completely confused and lost. And again, this is going up against a guy who is a two-pitch pitcher. So great job by the Brewers, I guess, and the catcher, Omar Narvaez, and calling the pitches and mixing them up and keeping Braves hitters off balance. There was one at bat in particular kind of later in the game. Travis d'Arnaud got to a 3-2 count and looked at a 92-mile-per-hour fastball right down the middle. That there tells you that they just were playing wrong. They were guessing wrong all night long. He was clearly looking for that slider, which is really good from Freddy Peralta, and he got a heater right down the middle and just watched it go by. I mean, right down the middle, split the strike zone. So, again, Freddy Peralta, very good. He's going to have outings like this where he shuts down some of the best lineups in all of baseball. Yeah, but unfortunately, the Braves just couldn't get anything going. They couldn't get those line drives to get down in that first inning, and that was really the only chance they had. Now, the defense for the Atlanta Braves continues to be a problem, was a problem Monday night, and led to the only run of the game. You had an error in the first inning by Matt Olson. It cost Ian Anderson, 8 or 10 pitches there in that inning. I don't know that it ultimately had too much effect on the game because I don't think Ian Anderson was really going to go much further than he went in this one. But still, Matt Olson, I mentioned it on yesterday's podcast, is really struggling defensively over there at first base right now. But the play of the game for me was the Hunter Renfroe double that should have been a single, a ball that was roped down the third baseline into left field, hit hard enough that when it caromed off the wall out there, Any just average left fielder should have been able to get to that ball and get it back in to hold Renfroe to a single. And you go back and watch Renfroe when he's running to first base there, he's not thinking he's going to get to two because he knows how hard the ball was hit, knows that that's typically going to give a carom to allow the left fielder to hold you to a single. But he looks up, sees Ozuna still nowhere near the baseball. And then you think, okay, well, Ozuna doesn't have an arm either. I'm just going to take this extra base. That drives me insane. And I get it. Acuna's not healthy. You got to put Ozuna out there, or at least I guess you have to. The only option would be to put Heredia out there and have Ozuna as a DH. Heredia is striking out almost every time he goes up there. But Ozuna just can't be in the outfield anymore. I'm sorry. I'm tired of seeing plays like this that cost the Braves games. And that was a play right there that, again, just any normal effort, any normal outfielder with any kind of speed gets to that ball and holds Renfroe to a single. As it happens, he didn't. Renfroe got to second. He moves to third on a ground out and scores on a wild pitch. And that's your ball game right there. Now, again, the Braves offense has to score. I get that. But that's the only run allowed in this game, and it's because the Braves have Marcell Ozuna in the outfield, and he's giving you very little effort on a very important play. I mean, just give me some sort of effort. I mean, it didn't even look like he was hardly trying to get to that ball, and then he just finally gets to it and lobs it in because he has no arm. I can't tell you how frustrating it is to see that type of play and lack of effort out there for Marcell Ozuna. I get it. He's not a good defensive outfielder. He shouldn't be out there, but the Braves are having to put him out there right now, and that was the ball game. I mean, that right there was the ball game. That's the only run scored in this game, and it's because of a lack of good defense on the Braves. And you had the wild pitch by Ian Anderson. I know that ultimately scored the run. Nothing Travis could really do about that behind the plate. That ball was just completely spiked. So frustrating to lose a game when that's how the only run was scored, and that's how you lose. But I want to focus on Ian Anderson because it was a really great start from him. He continues to be impressive. 6 innings, 4 hits, 2 walks, 1 earned run. Again, we're not going to go over that again. I'm still frustrated about it, as you can see. But 1 earned run, 3 strikeouts, 103 pitches, 61 strikes. Look, you're going to take this from Ian Anderson. He's never going to be that guy, or I'm not going to say never, but he's still just not that guy that's going to go out there and give you 7-8 innings. He just, for whatever reason, loses command at times, goes too deep into counts. 103 pitches in six innings. But he does give you six innings on a night where the Braves really needed it because the bullpen was taxed from over the weekend, and he gives you six strong innings. And he's been great since that first outing of the year, and I talked about it then. You know, he had a bit of a weird spring training, and I kind of gave him a pass for that first outing of the year where he got roughed up, and he has been great since then. He has a 2.70 ERA in his last six starts, and his season ERA now sits at 3.75. So he is on a roll. He mentioned after the game he's starting to feel more like himself, starting to get in a rhythm. So that is certainly great. I mean, the Braves have four starting pitchers right now who are all pitching well, and Max Fried, Charlie Morton, Ian Anderson, and Kyle Wright. I mean, there aren't many rotations in Major League Baseball right now that are that solid. They just need a little bit of help from the defense, a little bit of help from the offense, and this team can get on a roll. But you got to feel great with the pitching staff and where they are. And every day those guys go out there, you feel like you have a chance to win. All right, next I want to focus on Spencer Strider, give you some injury updates on Ronald Acuña Jr. and Tyler Matzek. Before we do that, let me tell you about betonline.net. They continue to be your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NBA playoffs and the start of Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sport wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Speaking of starting, it seems like that is not going to be in the plans for Spencer Strider, at least for right now. He came into the game on Monday, a bit of a surprise for a lot of us, I know, but he did come into the game on Monday, which means he will not be starting on Tuesday. We'll get to that starter later. Look, to me, and me and Grant McCauley talked about this on the postcast, just go ahead and put a label on it. Like, if this is what you want to do with Spencer Strider and just make him a multi-inning reliever out of the bullpen, that's fine. I think he's great there. I think that's a great role for him. He's been great in that role. But let's just go ahead and put that label on it, so there's not this questioning, this back and forth. And I'm sure, you know, it's more on us as fans than it is the Braves internally. But I'm sure there's some of that for Strider as well, and I'm sure he would like to start or at least know what his role is going to be. But there's been three or four times now where the Braves could have easily set Spencer Strider out and gave him a start the following day, but yet they used him in the bullpen. And I just don't get it. It's kind of frustrating for me as a fan. I got to imagine it's a little frustrating for Spencer Strider. You know, what is the plan with this guy? And, you know, while I was ready to just say, okay, well, Snicker's going to use him as a multi-inning reliever, that's what he's going to be, that's what we're going to label him as. And then Snicker says after the game that he would have started had Tyler Matzek not gone on the IL and they didn't need to use Strider on Monday. So it's just so confusing what they're doing with this kid. Are you going to use him as a reliever? Are you going to use him as a starter? And there's been multiple, numerous chances to use him as a starter, and they just haven't done so yet. So I believe he's a multi-inning reliever, and I'm going to get into that, you know, a little bit more here in a second, is why I think that's his role going forward. But I wanted to just highlight the fact that when you look at Spencer Strider and what he is now, I think Freddy Peralta gives you a good picture of what Spencer Strider could be, because Freddy Peralta is dominating. He is a really good pitcher. Go back and look at him from last year. And you can look, obviously, if you watch Monday's game, you know he dominates with a fastball-slider combination for the most part. Those are the two primary pitches that he throws. Spencer Strider is that same type of pitcher, and I keep talking about the fact that he needs to find a third pitch in order to be a starter, and perhaps that's not the case. I mean, perhaps he can go the Freddy Peralta route and be a dominating pitcher with just those two pitches. The only thing with Spencer Strider is, can he maintain that velocity that he has, particularly with a fastball, for five or six innings? We have not seen that be the case yet. We've seen that velocity tick down as he gets into his fourth, fifth inning. So that's the only key for him, is can he maintain that velocity throughout? But Freddy Peralta is a great example of a pitcher who is a two-pitch pitcher with a fastball slider, and he can keep hitters guessing, and he can dominate a lineup, you know, two, three times through. Peralta's a guy that, you know, hasn't particularly gone deep in games in his career. You know, he's five or six innings, But I'll take that. I mean, if you give me what Freddy Peralta is doing right now, what he did last year, and you tell me that's going to be Spencer Strider's future, that he's a solid number two, possibly, again, at worst, number three starter, which is what I believe Freddy Peralta is, I think that's the steal the ceiling for Spencer Strider. I don't know if he gets that chance this year to become that type of starter, but I think that's what he could be in the future. All right, let's jump into some injury news real quick. I'll start with Tyler Matzek since I already kind of mentioned it. He goes on the injured list with shoulder inflammation. This makes sense. We've talked about it a lot on here. The velocity is down. He's been getting hit hard. Now he's struggling with control. So kind of makes sense that he's dealing with a little something. Hopefully, all he needs is a little bit of rest. And when he comes back, he's the Tyler Matzek that we're used to seeing, the Tyler Matzek we've seen over the last 2 years. Look, these guys put a lot of stress on their arms in order to win that World Series, and I thank them for that. But I think you're going to see some fatigue from some of these relief pitchers. You know, we already have Luke Jackson down. Now Tyler Matzek is down for, you know, an unknown amount of time. And that just comes with what you have to do in order to win a postseason and pitching those innings, all those high-leverage innings. And I think that's playing a part in it, not to mention, you know, coming off a pandemic and shortened spring trainings, which shouldn't affect relievers quite as much. But I think that is playing a role with some of these relievers right now that we're seeing for the Braves. So Matzek will be on the IL for a little while. Again, hopefully he just needs some rest and he comes back strong. But going back to Spencer Strider, you know, I think this plays a big role for him. And I think he becomes a big part of that bullpen. Because right now you look at it, you know, Jansen, Minter, those are your top two. You got Will Smith back there as well. Colin McHugh, Darren O'Day, and Spencer Strider, you know, kind of falls into, you know, that fourth, fifth option in the bullpen right now for me. And I think he kind of becomes this guy that can bridge a gap and give you two innings in a game. And he was great on Monday. So I think Strider earns a bigger role. That's why I think he sticks in the bullpen for quite a while now, because they need him out there, quite frankly. This also makes sense, and Grant McCauley mentioned this to me on the postcast, but why they didn't use Matzek on Sunday. They stuck with Jackson Stevens in those extra innings there. Didn't go with Matzek. I don't know why. You could have gone with Strider there, but that makes sense why they didn't use Matzek in that game. Also on the injury front, Ronald Acuna Jr. Was out again on Monday, as you know. He did some more tests, and Snit made it sound like if he responds well to those tests and everything went good while he was doing those tests, performing those tests, that he could be in there on Tuesday. I get the feeling he's going to be in there on Tuesday, again, maybe as the DH. If not, I think it's time we start thinking about an IL stint for Ronald Acuna Jr. if he's not ready on Tuesday. Look, you can't be too careful with Acuna here. He's coming off a major injury. You know, there's other parts that he's going to be overexerting, you know, that he hasn't used a lot and played with, you know, at this level of competition in a while. So it makes sense that, you know, he's going to strain some things here and there as he works his way back. But you don't want this to become a lingering thing, and you certainly don't want it to become a situation where he tears something else and he's out for a couple of months and you pretty much miss him for all of this season. So you can't be too careful with him. Want to make sure he's 100% when he comes back so that he doesn't hurt something else. Look, I'm a fan of Ronald. Baseball is a fan of Ronald. We want him in there. He wants to be in there. But you got to play it very careful with him. And you know, once he's out there, he's going to play full speed. That's just his game. So I understand the caution. I understand the frustration as well. But I would say if he's not ready to be back in the lineup on Tuesday, it's probably time for him to go on the IL. But you look at his replacements, and there's just really not a lot to replace him with. Drew Waters is the only other outfielder on the 40-man roster, and he's currently battling a hamstring issue, hasn't been playing every day at Gwinnett. If the Braves move either Manny Pena or Eddie Rosario to the 60-day IL, that would open up a 40-man roster spot where you could either bring back Alex Dickerson, which would give you a left-handed bat, or potentially Preston Tucker, who has some history with the Braves as well. So those are your options if Acuna does go on the IL, but I'm hoping that he's ready. I'm hoping he's healthy and that he's ready to go on Tuesday. Speaking of Tuesday, we'll preview that matchup next with Tucker Davidson getting the ball for the Atlanta Braves. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local auto chain parts store to stock all the parts that your car will ever need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you can need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in there, "How did you hear about us" box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. On Tuesday, it'll be Tucker Davidson versus Adrian Houser. Houser on the season, 30 1/3 innings, 28 hits, 15 walks, 25 strikeouts, a 3.86 ERA, but just one home run allowed. Adrian Houser, a pitcher who really, really works on getting weak contact with that sinker. So something to watch out with for the Braves. Doesn't strike out a lot of batters, a good thing for the Braves. But again, really does a great job of creating weak contact. 15 walks and 30 1/3 innings this year. Braves got to be patient with him. Make sure that they get into count leverage situations and make sure they're not getting on top of that sinker and driving that ball. And hopefully the balls are finding holes for him in this game. But again, doesn't give up a lot of home runs. Only one home run on the season. Again, works on a ground ball pitcher for sure. Works on getting that ball on the ground. The Braves rely heavily on the home run. So gonna have to string some hits together, take advantage of some walks in order to score some runs on Tuesday. Last two starts for Houser, both against the Reds, 9 innings, 13 hits, 5 walks, 7 earned, and 9 strikeouts. So has not been good lately. Hopefully the Braves offense can take advantage here. Acuna, Albies, Olsen, Ozuna, and Riley all have good numbers against Houser, but in very limited sample sizes. As for Tucker Davidson, 26-year-old left-handed pitcher, made a couple of brief appearances at the big league level so far, has not gone well for him. He also pitched in the World Series last year for the Atlanta Braves. That did not go particularly well either. He's mostly fastball slider. He'll mix in a curveball as well. A little bit of a rough start for him at Gwinnett this year after he got an appearance for the Braves to start the season but did not get a shot in the rotation as I thought he would. But he's been much better later for Gwinnett. His last two outings in particular were really good. His last outing on Wednesday, 5 innings, 4 hits, no walks, 1 earned, and 6 strikeouts. No walks, very key for Davidson. It's been a problem for him and a lot of these young starters like Bryce Elder who have come up and struggled with command. So trust your stuff. I would typically say trust a very good defense behind you, but the defense has not been great lately. Still, you got to trust those guys that they'll make the plays. Trust your stuff in the zone. Cannot walk batters. This Brewers offense is the one that can struggle at times, is not very good, so you can't give them free passes. Allow them to get easy runs as the Braves basically handed them a run on Monday. Look, I'm not great at predictions, so this is probably going to be wrong, but I think the Braves offense is going to have a big day on Tuesday. After a very quiet day on Monday, going up a pitcher that's been struggling, I think they're going to have a big day on Tuesday. 6 or more runs, and I think they come out with a win. So I generally try to stay away from predictions because I feel like I'm terrible at them, so the Braves are probably going to lose on Tuesday, but I'm feeling pretty good about this game for the Braves. I don't know how Tucker Davidson is going to do on his side of things, but I feel like the Braves offense at least is going to have a much better game. It's got to be better than what we saw on Monday. That will do it for this episode of Locked On Braves. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @Locked_On_Braves. You can follow me at @ShortstopBall. Make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to the Locked On Braves podcast wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe to us on YouTube as well, and we will talk to you next time.
Hey, this is Stacey Gottsoulias,
DC Lundberg,
Ryan Finkelstein,
Taylor Blake Ward,
host of Locked On Yankees,
Locked On Mariners,
Locked On Mets,
Locked On Angels,
and you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.